when the world must come together as one. There are people dying, oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We could go on.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank you, listeners, for calling in to Let's Create a Better World. That's our show. I'm Bobby Elias, your host. We also will be talking about body, mind, spirit. And our co-host is Divine Aubrey. Divine, how you doing?
Hey, Bobby.
Great.
How's everything?
Everything's super. You want to talk about body, mind, spirit, and the other things that we do along those lines, please?
Yes. Anything that has to do, we're excited about any information, anything that has to do with body, mind, and spirit, and healing of our planet from the inside out.
You explained it so well. You're right. Right inside us. This is beautiful. I'm looking forward to another good show. And our listeners should know that we are now on this new time slot of Wednesday, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time. And Divine is a great co-host. We both collaborate and put on some really great shows about not only solutions for a better world, but also, as she said, body, mind, spirit, and all of the new, breakthroughs in science, research, and holistic health. Excuse me again. All right. Today we have a guest, Michael Lee, has a new book out, and we're going to talk about aging, specifically sleep disorders for a lot of people, and also how people are beginning to forget, memory loss, and that kind of thing. And we'll talk about more. And Michael will be on for most of the show. At the end of the show, Divine and I, we're going to give out more information about upcoming weeks and the archives. So let's get started with our guest, Michael Lee. Michael, welcome to the show. And why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your book first before we get started?
Very good, Bobby. The title of the book is called Boomers Turning 60-ish, What's Next on the Highway of Life? And it's basically a in-depth look at what happens here in what we call the fourth quarter of life. In the textbook, we've talked about taking life in four quarters, 0 to 20, 20 to 40, 40 to 60, 60 to 80. And so there's four quarters of life, and for people who are in their 60s and 70s, well, this is the book for them. And then, of course, we all hope for overtime for 80 up to 100 and to have a very vibrant and healthy life. And what needs to be done to make the last chapters of life the best ever.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, you got a lot of, you gave me a copy of the book. It's really interesting because in the back of the book, you've got a football field. And you've got how when they hit 60, they're into the aging bracket. When they hit 80, they go into overtime. Like four quarters. With the 20-yard line.
That's correct.
40, that is wonderful. But let's get more into, on this show, as you know, we talk a lot about aging and about the body, mind, spirit. You heard the opening monologue. And with you, I'd like to speak about two specific things, and then we can go from there. The first thing is about memory loss. We have a lot of people that ask me about that issue, and people start to get dementia. It's easy to get forgetful. I know people in their 20s and 30s that are forgetful. So imagine what they're going to be like when they're 60. So can you tell us a little bit about your research and information on memory loss?
Yes, I can. It is one of the saddest chapters in life, that because what happens is people who have Alzheimer's or dementia, what it does is it robs you of being yourself. You know, if we have a situation where in a wheelchair or some kind of physical malady to our legs or hands or something, we can continue on life. But when one loses their mental acuity, that comes along a lot with aging, it really robs us of who we are. It's kind of like the old saying, the lights are on, but nobody's home. And this is a tragedy that is affecting millions of people across the country. And it is increasing because the baby boomers are such a large part of the population. And as the baby boomers, we're all aging. And so as a result, the longer that we live, because a little bit of a longer life expectancy, the questions of Alzheimer's and dementia and cognitive decline are increasing more than they have ever had before. Medicare and families are not prepared for this in any way, shape, or form. The amount of money and finance for people in their retirement programs, we can talk about a little bit, come back with the money a little bit later, which is a very serious situation of how families are going to cope with a loved one who has dementia. Now, as you mentioned before, it is true that people can have dementia at earlier ages. In their 40s and 50s, it can happen to some people there. Obviously, in the research, the science is still trying to figure out in detail whether it's genetic, environmental, a combination of things, diet, stress. There's a long list of things that scientists and doctors are looking into, but it still is an area that is more hit and miss and is more of a mystery than anything else, and is very frustrating for many families that there is not more research and more progress in this field. Now, I can tell you, Bobby, I know about this very personally because I'll relate to you a personal story. My mother was a phenomenal individual, and at the age of 54, she was a school teacher and a nurse, and in Pennsylvania, they had a snow day. And as a result, school was dismissed early. She walked to the parking lot and slipped on the ice and did a backflip on her head. Ooh. She was never 100% again. She never worked again. She was fortunate that for a number of years that she was able to come back partially and so forth. But her concussion brought on, by the time she was 70, brought on her early dementia. And so the family, it was very, very tragic for everybody. Husband, sister, brother,
I'm sure it was.
Family.
Very, very tragic. Our co-host, Divine, treats a lot of people with a lot of different things. Divine, since we leave time slot, introduce yourself again with the work you do. And then I want to ask you, Divine, our co-host, what I know you have people that come to you for counseling. I'm sure you have people that come in with memory problems. But tell us first about yourself, the work that you do, and then anything else you want to say about it.
Yeah. Well, let me start right at the beginning.
Hold on. I was calling for Divine. This is for Divine, our co-host, to give her thoughts.
Okay.
Sure.
She treats people. Go ahead, Divine.
Right. Bobby, I can barely hear you. What was the question?
Okay. No problem. Now can you hear me better? All right. And Michael,
can you hear me
all right?
Yes, I can hear you better now. You were fading a little bit. It's better, Bobby.
Thanks for telling me. No problem. The question, Divine, is that memory loss. I'm sure you have a lot of clients that come to you for counseling for different issues because you're an all-around health person. You can mention some of the things that you do, the counseling you do. And then what happens when people come to you with memory problems? Can you give us a little take on that, please?
Yes. I work with most of my clientele are people working with anxiety challenges and life purpose. I deal with a lot of family members of memory loss, but I don't really have clients that deal specifically with memory loss. I do deal with family members on how, you know, they can best approach and assist, you know, their loved one through a memory loss. But I had a question for Michael. With the increasing number of people that are experiencing dementia and I guess Alzheimer's as well, is there, or do you know of, or suggest a holistic approach to treating dementia? I mean, I can't think of any specific names right now, but I see, nutritional supplements that say that it helps with the treatment of dementia. Have you seen any success with that?
Good question.
You know, I have seen the same types of things, but as far I do not have the definitive aspects because I'm not a medical person, even though I have a lot of family who are involved in medicine. And so the question as far as nutritional supplements and so forth as to whether they have efficacy and can do this, some of the research that I have seen is that some of the new things that are coming on do not cure anything else, but they kind of tend to help delay or slow the progression. And that's what I've seen mostly in the research, is that the progression is pretty much locked in, but with some of this medication and so forth, it can make a slower descent and can buy more time of lucidity and functionality. That's pretty much what I have seen in the literature and has been my experience.
That's nice thing. Wonderful.
That's great. We have a lot of people that are, as they age, some of the things that I tell people that they can do about to prevent memory loss is antioxidants, blueberries, pomegranate, a lot of fruits, a lot of juices, green juices, fruit juices, also the cruciferous juices, and more vegetables, more fruits, more foods that are gluten-free and non-GMO'd, foods that are organic, very, very important. In fact, I tell people, you want good foods, go to the farmer's market. If they're fresher, much fresher. They're fresh the same day or one day old. And we also tell people that they can get powder of green juice or red juice, and that is fresh. But once you open it, you put the liquid into it, it's fresh, fresh, fresh. So these are some of the things that we tell people to do, as well as get a lot of sleep, exercise, stay positive, stay away from anxiety and stress, negativity, and keep your mind. These are all things that everybody should do, but especially people get sick with different diseases. And we consider memory loss, dementia, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, all definitely very horrible pictures. Your thoughts on anything that I said, Michael, and you want to just go ahead and continue to talk about memory loss, and then we're going to go to
Was that directed to me, Bobby? Because you're a little hard to hear. I still need to hear you a little bit better.
So directed to you. If you didn't hear it all, just
sure. No, I got most of it. I just got most of it, but you're fading out a little bit on me. Bobby, I think that what you said is pretty much right on target. There is no doubt about it that if you think about your body as a machine, nutrition and what you eat and your diet and your exercise and sleep is critically important. And too many people, especially as we age, do not exercise and are not eating properly and not getting enough sleep, and maybe because of what is going on in their lives, the dynamics with family or with work or their personal situation, they're under a lot of stress. And if you take the analogy of a car, if you do not take care of the car, and it gets no exercise, it just sits in the garage. What will happen to a car if it just sits in the garage year after year? It will eventually start to fall apart. It will not operate properly. And if you put it in the garage for a long, long period of time, it will just eventually have to be taken to the junkyard. And your body needs to make sure that it is properly fueled up with proper nutrition. Nobody would take their car and put sand in their car. Nobody would put dirt in their engine to make the car run better. But people do that all the time. When you see the garbage that people eat and the way they abuse their body, it's no wonder that the brain and our functions do not work properly. And so people need to watch their nutrition, and they need to make sure that they are getting some exercise. That's how a body works. I always use the analogy of the animal kingdom. If you watch animals, an animal who is either a predator You take a lion or a tiger or somebody else. A predator in the jungle who does not move and had no exercise will die because a predator who cannot move has no food source. In addition, if you are prey and you are one of the animals that are a prey animal and you need to escape from the tiger or from the lion and you are weak and cannot move and you have not done anything, you will be prey because the first thing you need to do is be able to run. You need to be able to have flight. You need to be able to survive. And so whether you are a predator or whether you are prey, the important distinction here as far as humans, as far as us to look, is people have to move. You have to have exercise. You have to keep your body in tune, and it will have your much there. Now, having said all that, is that any guarantee that you will not get Alzheimer's? No. Much of this is a medical mystery. But it can stave off. And so if I would ask an individual, if you were going to be an individual who will be susceptible to Alzheimer's or cognitive decline, would you rather have this happen to you at the age of 70 or at 80? I think most people say, I'd like to postpone it as long as possible. And these are the ways to do it. And one other aspect that we need to touch on, too, is sleep. A lot of people just, their balance is all off because they burn the candle on both ends, and they are, because of their lack of exercise and nutrition, they are sleep deprived. And if you take a look at the animal kingdom again, you will notice that animals are always sleeping. And why are they sleeping? They need to restore their body, and they need to restore their stamina, so when the time comes, whether they're predator or prey, they are able to function properly. And so it's critically important for anybody who's suffering or looking at Alzheimer's or something like that is to really push nutrition, exercise, avoid stress, and to get enough sleep.
Good. You know, Michael, I have a cat. Female cat.
I can't hear you, Bobby.
Okay. I have a cat that stays in my room and goes out the yard and plays a lot, too. And she sleeps a lot, an awful lot. But she actually goes wherever I go, she wants to follow and go because I'm the person that feeds her. But
you're
right about animals. You're the right. And bears sleep a lot. Hibernation.
Yeah.
But let's get more into sleeping. And if you have any thoughts about this subject, divine, please bring it up. But and sleeping is so important because Dick Gregory, who is in his 80s now, he's a former civil rights guy, comedian, and he's a real health nutritionist and advocate for health. He's in the Chicago and St. Louis area, African American. He's well known. He's had books and he's had products and. He's a little out of touch now. He hasn't been around as much because of his age, I guess, but he's still active and alive. I heard him speak a couple of years ago, and he said to him, the number one problem for people dying is sleep deprivation. And I've heard sleep, I've heard sugar, I've heard stress as the three things that seem to be pop up most by most of the so-called experts as the reasons why people don't live long. I want to get your thoughts on that, but a little more on sleep if you'd like, and if not, let's talk about sugar. And about, what's the other thing I said just now? Sleep, sugar, and stress. Yeah, that's the third one. Go right ahead.
Well, I think that the most, what Dick Gregory is saying, and he was very active back in the 70s and 80s, I think what he is saying is right on. I know that last year, my book here, which is, of course, again, put a little plug in, Boomers Turning 60-ish, but the whole idea of sleep has become much more important in recent years. Help me out here, the lady who started Huffington Post, what is her first name?
Her first name and last name is Huffington, I know that.
I'm trying to think of her. I'm just having a question right there. But she wrote a book last year all about sleep deprivation. And the whole idea here is that sleep is so critical. And, of course, now what's happening is that people are trying to cheat against the sleep clock. And if you find out, actually, Starbucks is almost predicated in the morning. What do people do in the first thing when they get up in the morning? The first thing they do is reach for coffee. And one reason why coffee is so critically important that people just get in a habit, their body demands it, is because a lot of times they have not gone to bed early enough the next night, and to be able to face the day, you need to kind of get your body jolted and get going. And a caffeine fix, what is caffeine? Caffeine is basically an upper. And so some people will be drinking coffee all morning because that's what keeping them awake. And I'm not here to campaign against coffee, but I am talking about the fact is that if people had enough sleep the night before, and the question is, how much sleep do you need? You may want to comment on this, but the fact is that almost all the literature says that an adult needs 7 to 9 hours of sleep. And the reason why they put that range there is because everybody is different. But usually, most people, 7.5 to 8 hours is really what they need. Now, here's the fascinating part about this, Bobby. Everybody will tell you, I don't have enough time. Work. And my chores and the things I need to do to get through the day, I don't have enough time. And it's interesting that that is the biggest lie in the entire world. If we would stop and take a look about sleep and just consider throughout the day how much time we spend surfing the net, watching TV, how much time we do in non-essential activities, we're on Facebook, we're on our smartphones, there is enormous amounts of time. And so really what it comes down to, it's not that we don't have enough time, it's that we make certain choices. And when we cheat what I call our sleep clock of how many hours we sleep, it really impacts the rest of our health. And so it's so incredibly important. In fact, sometimes some of the research says that depression and some of these other anxiety that attacks a lot of people, that much of it is because people are not getting enough sleep. And, of course, sleep is tied into exercise and nutrition as well and anxiety. But I call it the four pillars. The four pillars of life: nutrition, exercise, stress, sleep. Each one impacts the other one, and you need all four going the same direction. But sleep is probably the one that is most overlooked. Because what does everybody talk about? Every magazine, how to lose weight, what to eat. It's an obsession in America all the time. And then, of course, everybody's told, well, you need to get some exercise. Go to the gym. Go to walk. We hear all about that. And then we hear about the stress in our lives. We're just overscheduled with family and children and parents and friends and work, and it just is overwhelming. Right. But which one do we hear the least amount? And the least amount is probably one of the most important, and that is sleep. You gotta get some sleep, Bobby.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. That's good. Divine, our co-host, by the way, I'm Bobby Elias. Divine Aubrey is our co-host. I've been speaking with Michael Lee. He's got a new book, Boomers, and he'll explain more about the book and more about his work. But
Bobby, we're still having a hard time hearing you.
Okay. Yeah. Divine, could you come in? And you treat people with anxiety issues. Could you talk about anxiety or stress, but whatever you can about how...
Yes, I agree with Michael wholeheartedly regarding, sleep deprivation. And I think it all has to do with decluttering our lives. Like Michael was mentioning, it's a smartphone that's checking, Facebook and our emails all day long. One of the first things that I do instructing, my students, clients, is to... on a daily basis, to delete all of their text messages, anything that you do not need to refer back to, because we're holding that energy. So So anything legally that we don't need to have, I suggest that they clear it out, clear their voicemail out, clear their emails out, because we're carrying that energy around with us. And that could very much prohibit us from getting sleep. Another important thing that I teach is to, in the evening time, before we go to sleep, we go with an exercise of letting go of all the activity of the day and then calling forth our intention for our lives or for a short period of time before we fall off to sleep, because it's very important what we're implanting in our subconscious mind before our sleep time, so we can get a good restful night of sleep instead of thinking about, you know, all the things that we were unhappy with that transpired during the day and then carrying them into our sleep and then consequently bringing them into the next day. So it's very important of how we prepare ourselves for sleep at night, you know, as well. But yes, I've heard all the controversy about sleep deprivation and how important it is. And it's kind of contrary to the vibration that the Western society is operating on. It's like, do more, have more, you know, get more. So we need to start implementing some holistic measures and taking care of ourselves with, you know, prayer and meditation and going within and calling all the things that we're asking for in our life from a different dimension, instead of trying to go out there and physically get everything. So to go within to bring into fruition in the outer world of what we're calling for.
Well said, Divine. And Michael, about sleep, I have people that, I'm a nutritionist and a health coach, and I have people that, older people, well, as they get older, they have more trouble sleeping. That's what we find out more and more. There are a lot of herbs that can help them. There are a lot of herbs that I recommend, but I don't want to get into that right now. But I do, I have people that say they only sleep 4 hours a day. They can't go anymore. So I say, well, why don't you go for five? And then I tell them this. I think you'll like what I have to say, Michael. And that is, before you go to sleep, quiet the mind as much as you can. Meditation, deep breathing. Put on some soft music. Stay away from TV, cell phone. You mentioned this a while ago. Anything invigorating, no noise, anything to think about. Don't even, you can plan your next day, but keep it simple. Don't get into something complicated and start worrying about issues. Then you're going to have trouble sleeping. Your thoughts
absolutely
on that,
right, Bobby. Absolutely correct. And what Divine said, too. I mentioned this in my book. I have a whole chapter on this. And the fact is for sleep is that what people need is what we call, what I call a ritual. You know, when we have young children, what do we do with them? We want to try and put kids down to sleep. They don't want to sleep and so forth. You put them in a room. You turn the lights down. And they want to be read a story. And so you tell a story, the kids get sleepy, you don't put on anything scary or anything else. You tell a mellow story that just kind of sedates them and so forth, and kids soon drift off to sleep, and you tiptoe out of the room, and they're done. But as adults, we don't do that. We don't have a ritual. People are staying up and watching some scary old movie and scared out of their wits before they try to go to bed. It's not a very good idea. They're reading a book that is just frightening, or they're watching politics. And it doesn't matter whether you're on the left or the right, whether you're red or blue, but you watch the TV and it just makes you mad. And so this is not a good ritual. I like what you said, Bobby, too, as far as the herbs and so forth. I'm a believer in all that, too. But I also think that especially for older people who are not on a schedule, one of the biggest problems you have is that people, because they don't have a schedule, their cycles are all messed up. You know, they're going to bed at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning one night, and then they wonder why the next night, when they want to go to bed earlier at 10 o'clock, they're not tired and they can't fall asleep. And then they're in the up and down situation. They're taking sleeping pills to try and get to sleep. And then, you know, they're sleepy in the morning and they don't get up in the morning. And having some kind of a ritual for sleep is so critically important. And Divine, I agree with what she said, too, is that the anxiety. I always make a joke with people. I said, and this is true 24 hours a day, a phone has no constitutional right to be answered. If your phone goes off, there is no phone police requiring you to jump up and go answer the phone. If you were involved in something else or even don't feel like it, if it's important, let it go to voicemail. You can check it later. I have a couple friends that they are so addicted to their phone. That phone rings, and that's the only thing they can focus on. The conversation stopped, the dinner stopped, whatever they were doing stopped, because they are just addicted to the excitement. Well, who's calling and what's going on? And that's just part of our, especially young people today, they're addicted to that. Mm-hmm. And so I always make the joke that a phone has no constitutional right to be answered. And if it's very important, they will call back and to leave a message. So having some kind of ritual at night, being able to mellow down, like you said, Bobby, mellow music, and being able to have a darker room, the less light, the better. And to try and declutter the mind is very, very well said. That's good wisdom. And I point that out in my book here, that people just have to have some kind of ritual so they can get on a sleep schedule. Right. I'll just finish up with this last thought here and let you pick up. But, you know, who's one of our greatest people in American history is Ben Franklin. And what did Ben Franklin say? We all remember it from grade school. Early to bed and early to rise makes right. a man healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Very good. Excellent. That's beautiful. Divine, maybe some more of your thoughts or if you have a question, but I just wanted to, because we're going to change the subject in another minute after. But one other thing I want to add about sleeping, because I'm really a student of it, because I have sleeping problems myself. Besides what I said about the music, soft music and quiet and turn everything off, also I turn the phone off so that I wouldn't be able to hear it. And I don't eat anything for the last 3 hours before I go to sleep. Maybe drink
very
a little
important.
Something, but very, very little, so you don't have to go to the bathroom so much. But do as little as possible and just sit there and silence. If you don't want to do meditation, fine. Either do silence or meditation. Breathe in, let it out, breathe out, and don't let any thoughts come in. I concentrate on my breathing as opposed to letting, because my mind does race. I'll admit it. You know, I have so many things going on in my life. So I try to, if a thought tries to come in racing into my system, I shut it off right away and just concentrate on the what I'm doing, the meditation, the deep breathing. And I count or I just think of the air, the oxygen coming in is wonderful. It's full of love and beauty and rejuvenation. And when it's going out, I'm getting rid of all the bad. Sometimes I think that I have to keep thinking of different ways to keep myself busy and quiet and peaceful. That's what I do. Have you any more thoughts on any of these issues, Divine?
Well, I think it's important, to, have a schedule and a ritual. And I may want to suggest the importance of having a mantra.
Yes.
In the evening time as you're going to sleep, as well as throughout the day, to keep some of the, or to keep the majority of the anxiety and all the clutter and the phone out of our system. I think people are, my philosophy is, any disorder that anyone is dealing with, whether it's sleep deprivation or anxiety, it's a void from our God self. So we're trying to fill that void with, the phone calls, who's calling, with not such a good nutritional diet, just all kind of things. And so a good way is to implement a mantra in your daily practice. I teach Japa meditation with the Sanskrit mantra, but any mantra, any words that work for someone to settle them down, settle themselves down and bring them back to center, So that would be my suggestion.
Yeah, a few people that aren't aware of what mantras are, I have people that say what they like to do is do something.
Bobby, we're having, your voice is very low.
Okay. I have people that, that are used to doing positive words, in other words, affirmations. They do that as opposed to mantras, which is okay, because I'm getting into mantras more the more I talk to you and for Hanukkah, because they're wonderful mantras. But to stay quiet and peaceful and think nothing but good things, it's wonderful. If you have any more closing thoughts, because we're going to wind this down, Michael, if you want to take 2 or 3 minutes of final thoughts, and then we're going to get your contact information as we slow down. Go ahead.
I would just follow what Devine said, too. One thing is a lot of people, especially as we age and everything else, find that they have to get up and go to the bathroom. And I am a big believer, as I'm pointing out in my book, too, what you mentioned, Bobby, is not to eat after, say, 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening. It's like leaving your car in a garage with the radio on, the lights on, and the windshield wipers on, and your body has to digest this food all night long. And so people eat late at night. They wonder why they kind of twist and turn because of their digestion problem. The other factor, too, is if you drink at supper time and go to the restroom before you go to bed, and without having any liquids, say, after, say, 7:30, 8 o'clock, you're less likely to feel the urge to get up and go to the bathroom, and you will not interrupt your sleep. And so on. The last thing I will finish up here with is that, like Devine said, she said a mantra. But, you know, a lot of people also are very religious, and they say their prayers at night, and they try and think of some kind of religious stuff. But whether you are religious or not, I think one of the best things to do is to have a reading, one page, poetry or something like that, which is uplifting, which is positive, which reinforces life, and that you can read something like this, that's your last thought of the day, that kind of gives you a little push and so forth, and that you kind of transcend it as you meditate and that. And the last thing I'll point out, too, is that people need to be aware of what I call their mind track. In your head, you all through your day, but not only that, we're so much into our own head and our own thoughts all the time. But, you know, when something is really troubling us during the day, but especially in the evening when we're trying to fall asleep and we're quiet and we're saying, oh, boy, I got this problem tomorrow and I got to deal with this and this and this and this, one of the most important things is to really start to hone in and be aware of what I call your mind track. What am I thinking about? And then to consciously be aware of saying, I need to change channels, just like on your TV, click. I'm going to click to something more positive, mellow, soothing, meditating, like you said, quiet, and then it's much easier for me to fall asleep. So being aware of your mind track and being conscious to actually change channels in your head is very important.
Right, very good. Excellent. Your contact information.
Absolutely, Michael, that's great. And I also like to add to that, even having that being a time to give gratitude. So switching our mind to what we're grateful for in our life is a wonderful way to fall asleep instead of falling asleep on all of our woes, you know, and worries about the next day and et cetera, et cetera. So
absolutely.
Very good information.
Absolutely.
In other words, good thoughts, positive
good
things.
Good thoughts. Well, Devine, you're going to have to have some of your clients order my book so that they'll be able to follow along as homework.
Tell us about your book.
I was just looking it up on Amazon. Yes, mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to getting a copy myself, actually.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What's the name of the book again? And tell our listeners a little more about the book, please.
I will be glad to. The title of the book is called Boomers Turning 60 or 60-ish. And what's next on the highway of life? And I'll try and be brief because I know we're running out of time. But the whole idea here is for boomers in your 60s and 70s, the last quarter of your life, is to make it the most exciting, the most rewarding, the most purposeful in your life. When we're young, we got to go to school. When we're in our 20s and 30s, we're thinking about getting married. We're talking about buying a house. We're trying to start a career. Everything is kind of pointed out for us. And when we're in our 40s and 50s, we're trying to get kids through college, and we're trying to figure out about retirement and so forth, too. But when you get into the fourth quarter of life, when I say 60-plus, there's no written rules. It's different for everybody. And the whole purpose of this book is to try and have people focus. And no one path is the same for everybody else. Everybody follows a different life. But to really focus to make the last quarter of your life, and hopefully beyond, a meaningful and purposeful and many times the best part of your entire life. And that's the whole gist of the book and how important it is to implement those things and do those things that you love and want to do because life is short.
Right. So you've given us your information on the book and your contact information. And I want to tell people that I have the book, and it's great. And Divine, I'm glad that you want to get that book. It's not very expensive. Excellent. Got a lot of chapters on a lot of different issues about life and about living healthier. Really a great health book for a lot of people. Simple read, and it's just wonderful. Well, Michael, you've been really good. Thank you for coming in and on doing the show with us. And unless you have any more questions, Divine, or any more thoughts, you and I can talk for a few minutes as soon as Michael leaves. But great show. You're very, very articulate. You have a lot of good information, Michael. So glad that you were able to come and be with us today. Thank you, and let's stay in touch.
I appreciate it, Bobby. I look forward to talking with you again sometime. And, Divine, I wish you much success with your practice. And as we try, and each one of us in our own ways, trying to show people here how to live a fulfilling life.
One more thing. There's a big cancer convention coming, and a lot of people that are older that would love that book. I'm going to call you later. You can call me either way. And I want to discuss to you some ideas on how you can promote yourself. I'd be happy to help you.
That would be wonderful, Bobby. I appreciate it. That would be great.
Yeah, you and I talked about that when we met. We just haven't followed up yet. We're all so busy. But,
yes.
Okay, well, thank you so much for being on the show.
It's been a pleasure. I wish you both very well. I look forward to it again.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And you had a lot of good thoughts there, Divine. That was wonderful that we were able to come in and talk about sleep and about stress and about anxiety. Any more thoughts about what we just heard?
I'm just looking at the table of contents of Michael's book, and it's talking about the end game and the celebration of life, which is wonderful, because when do we get to that point? I mean, in my teaching, with my clients, students, I am an advocate for them to start celebrating life. Right now, no matter where they are, if they're in their 20s or 30s or 40s or on up, but especially for, the older population, it's time for them to enjoy life, So I think it's very, important to pick up Michael's book. It looks like a great book. Great information.
Very true. I like that, what you said about celebrating life, and too many people don't. Instead, there's sit around and they think about all the horrible things going on in their past or their family, or it's all, instead of living and being happy and carefree and thinking positive thoughts, too many people as they age get cranky and complain and just negative about so many things. The slightest thing goes wrong and they get all haywire. That's not good. So this was a great discussion about study, about sleeping, and about memory loss. I like all those subjects. And as we look at the book in the future, you and I, Divine, can try to find some of those chapters, like what you just said, celebration of life. I think that's important, something we can talk about in a future show. Any more thoughts about the show we did today or anything else you want to say, Divine?
No, other than I just want to, let our listeners know how they can listen to our archive. There's two ways online. The first one is to go to Progressive Radio Network website, which is prn.fm. And then the second way is to go to our podcast, which is www.letscreateabetterworld.podbean.com. And Podbean is spelled P as in Paul, O as in Oscar, D as in David, Bean. V as in boy, E as in Edward, A as in Apple, N as in Nancy.com. So it's letscreateabetterworld.podbean.com. Our archives are updated just about 24 hours after our live show. So any of the archives can be accessed through any one of those websites online.
Good. And then on the phone, for those that don't have a computer or they're busy or they're not near a computer, they can hear the archive 24 hours a day, that's online and the telephone line, and hear the five most recent shows. For example, on the phone is button 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Button one is usually the show we just had the previous week. In other words, the show we're doing today very likely will be on either tomorrow or Thursday, usually Thursday or Friday, the day or two after we have the show. And it'll be on button one probably, and all the other shows will move back to button 2, 3, 4, 5. So the number to call for the telephone archive, 24 hours a day, is 701-719-0994. And, Divine, let's give our information out. I'm going to give mine out first, and then you can say anything about you, yourself, your work, and so we have a few minutes right now about how people can reach you also. I want to give out my phone number. If anybody has any ideas or questions of what they would like to see on the show, what they liked or disliked, or anything, or just to talk, I have people calling me for that's how I met a few of people that you and I have talked about, Divine. And because they call in and they have questions, and they're not feeling good, or they have a problem, or I had some people call me a month ago, and the lady had leukemia, and right away I gave her some thoughts about juicing and some cancer methods to do, and then I hooked her up with one of our guests a few weeks ago, Luann Panessi, and Luann sent her protocol, a written protocol on what to do, and this was all wonderful. So our show and my own work is to help people get better. And I'll give you my number again, area 323-770-1925. And call me. We can discuss the show. We're on every Wednesday at 5 o'clock Eastern Time, 2 Pacific Time, and that's it for that. Now, Divine, you do a lot of things. Tell our listeners a little more about what you do and how they can reach you.
Okay. Primarily, I am a well-being life coach. I also teach yoga and meditation. Most of my practice is centered around clearing chakras and working with people's energy system. I just bring them back to the infancy stage where they don't have, I call them sticky notes, the energetic beings, so they can live, step into living a life more fulfilled. And anyone can reach me at 310-714-9704. I have group classes as well as individual one-on-one sessions.
So people can call you even if they're in New York or somewhere else, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, great. Now, stay with me here, Divine, because what we're going to do, I want to talk about our next few shows, but I want to talk about the six. You know, we're going to have a show to talk about the change going on. The Mother Earth is shifting right now in a lot of ways. So first, let me say that 2 weeks from, 3 weeks from now, we're going to have a show. 2 weeks from now, take it back. Sorry about that. 2 weeks from now, on August the 30th, again, Wednesday.
Bobby, you may want to adjust your headset again. I'm fading.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm sorry, listeners. I just... Anyway, 2 weeks from today, it'll be August the 30th, and at 5 o'clock Eastern Time, we're going to have Ellie Lax on. She has been on our show 3 times in the past, almost once a year, to talk about, she has an animal farm, a sanctuary for animals that nobody else wants. She has a rehab center, but most of all, the way they treat their animals, and the whole place is full of love. Love given to the animals, and the animals reciprocating with love to the everybody that comes there. School kids that go there and have questions, and these are inner city school kids that never get a chance to be around animals very much except to chase them or throw a rock at them or something like that. But they learned that the animals are very loving, giving, and they learn to pet the animals, and it's really a great experience. And we also tell people that people that are sick or lonely should have a dog. Your dogs are full of love. But aside from all that, she also, the main thrust of the show on August the 30th, 2 weeks from today, will be about what we can do about the shift, about how things are changing. The shift is S-H-I-F-T, change, about the Mother Earth is going through a big change, and the world is going to get better in a lot of ways. Sure, we're still going to have problems, and there will be some disasters and earthquakes and such. But overall, and this happens to be from the Mayan prophecies and also Nostradamus and other great, great information, Edward Casey, the world is going to change. It's already changing right now. We're going to talk about that at length with myself and Ellie Lax on the 30th. But the week after, a guest that we've had recently is and I want you to talk about this too, because you know her better than I do, Divine, and that would be Veronica Gabriel, going to talk about the shift of what's happening, what's going on, gone, and some more thoughts on what you think and expect her to talk about on September the 6th. It's going to be a 15-minute. We're going to have her or on to be once a month, first Wednesday of every month at the usual time, the starting time, and then she'll be on talking about different issues. Your thoughts on that, Divine?
Veronica Gabriel is a wonderful health coach, spiritual coach. She's been a facilitator of the Course in Miracles for over 30 years. She offers many retreats on body, mind, spirit. So she's going to be talking to us about the shift in consciousness and the change that's taking place. Underneath all the unrest, there's a shift in consciousness that's taking place, and it's giving each and every one of us to step into the opportunity to step into our true life purpose. So the best thing to do is not to fight it, to kind of go within and see what's being asked of each and every one of us individually. Like, what are our gifts? What are we meant to bring to society? Because we can no longer depend on the government or anyone else doing it for us. So actually, it's a wonderful time that we're living in, giving us the opportunity again to share our God-given gifts and talents and kind of step into the reason that we signed up to come here. So let's not lose focus in that, what is really undergirding what's going on. So very
and
much
Divine,
looking forward to having Veronica back with us.
Right. And for listeners and that on your computer or on your phone, you can get to the archives. She was on last week on August the 9th. So she'll be on button number one for a day or two, and then she'll be probably on the next one. So online you can find her, but on the phones you can get her also and hear that show. If you didn't hear it last week or you want to hear it again or tell your friends, that's what the archives are all about. They're really wonderful. All right, I'm going to wrap up the show by just thanking all of our people that were here with us, and then we're going to have our song at the end of the show. And then if I have another minute or two, Divine, you can say goodbye too in a minute. But let me thank the staff at Progressive Radio Network. First of all, Gary Knoll started the station about 11 years ago. It's now number one on a lot of categories, not just online progressive issues, but also FMAM. It's number one. His show is heard by more people than anyone. Gary's been on 41 years. So thank you, Gary, for getting the station on. Thank you to our PRN director, Jesse. Thank you for a good job you're doing, and you've given us a better time slot, and our archives are getting more and more up to date. Thank you for all of that. Thank you to our engineer, Kelsey, doing a great job. Then let's go to our staff, our helpers and producers here in L.A. is a Stuart Hassel. Thank you, Stuart. In New York, and Brooklyn, New York, from Brooklyn, and he's traveling the East Coast now, and that would be Greg. Thank you, Greg, for being a good associate producer and helping out with a lot of research and emails back and forth. And thank you, our other associate producer, Lydia, who is now putting together some great information on aging that we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks. And thank you, Lydia. So, anyone, we got about a minute to go. Or no, we don't. You want to say goodbye?
Thank you, Bobby.
Yes, thank you for being a great, great co-host. We love you. Listeners tell me that they're happy that we have you. We want to keep you going with us for a while. So thank you, Divine, and thank you all. Thank you, lastly, the listeners, for tuning in. Be sure to thank us. We're privileged and full of love to have you on our show. Thank you. And we'll see you next week. The world must come together.